Kia ora whānau. That felt a bit quicker than normal, eh? The transition there. Anyway, sorry. Just speaking what's on my mind. That's not always a good thing. So, family, this morning we're going to journey through another miracle. We're still in the miracle space, which is brilliant, right? It's actually been really great to experience some of the miracles anew and discover them. And this week, I wonder if someone wants to hazard a guess. I'm sure we can guess this, right? Come on, is someone going to say it? No? Feeding the 5,000. Yeah, feeding the 5,000. That's right. And as I've been pondering this story this week, as I've been pondering it, I've been wondering, family, I wonder this morning if anyone in this room, anyone here today, has some kind of problem in their life. Thanks, Chris, I appreciate that. Does anyone in the room have some kind of problem in their life? Yeah, I'm going to raise my hand too. Yeah? Yeah, generally speaking, we've all got some kind of problem. We've all got things that we have to work through, eh? Things that aren't always that easy. And I assume that, yeah, we're all struggling with something right now. It might be something minor, and it might be really easy to fix, and it's just going to take time. But there's some things that can be overwhelming and all-consuming. But what if I told you this morning that Jesus has a plan to meet all our needs, to help us with all of those problems? Would that get some of you a little bit excited this morning? Yeah? Yeah? If I told you Jesus has a plan. Yeah? He has a plan for those problems that we face on a regular basis. Now, if you've got your Bibles there today, family, we're looking at John 6. John 6. So if you have John 6 open, and we'll jump through the passage a little bit as we go. So we'll start with John 6, 1 to 4, and we're kind of setting the scene here today, family. John 6, 1 to 4. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on the mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. So as I said, John in this scene is setting, he's setting the scene. In this particular part of the passage, he's setting the scene. He says, sometime after this, meaning that there is more that has happened before. And whenever we see something like this, we go back and we look at what's been happening. And what Jesus has been doing, I'd encourage you to take the time to look at the story when you've got time. We've been going through John. I don't know if you've noticed that, but each of the miracles has been taken from John. But I'd encourage you to go back and look at those chapters. But what he's been doing many miracles, spoiler alert, many miracles. He's been doing lots of teaching of the disciples. He's also been teaching the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and he's been showing them what it is to follow him. Jesus, at this point in the story, is very, very well known. He'd be well known to everyone, and people would be quite divided on him. He's the kind of person that you either love him or you absolutely hate him. Okay, there's not really any in the middle. You either love Jesus or you hate him. Passover is coming, and the story today has many crossovers with Passover. In fact, it's often said that it's kind of a showing that Jesus meets the same kind of things as Passover. The main thing being, obviously, when God's provision of manna from heaven when they're in the desert. Here, it is a miraculous act of turning a great level of provision for all. And Passover is a celebration of God's provision. At this point in the story, Jesus is actually trying to take the disciples away. He's trying to move them on from everything that's going on. And he's trying to find space to worship God and to pray and get away from everything. The funny thing is, as all these people approach, a great crowd, I think it is described as, and Jesus can't get away from it all. And so instead of resting Instead of being selfish and taking the moment for himself, Jesus pauses and he allows the interruption to take over. And if you look through the story of Jesus, he often takes the time to allow the interruption to take over what's going on. It's fascinating. It's not natural, is it? It's not what we would do. In fact, if we're really struggling, we would move on, wouldn't we? Yeah, we would try and get that space. If we're really, really tired, we might go on holiday and get away, yeah? Jesus is in the business of being interrupted and being okay with it, being absolutely okay with it. I've said it before and I'll say it again many, many times. I love the disciples for the way in which they represent us as human beings, yeah? The way in which Jesus utilizes them as a teaching tool for everyone and beyond. And I love this. I love this about Jesus. And in this moment, the passage actually says he's testing them, which is fascinating. Jesus did this. He taught them and he took these prompts and these moments so that the disciples didn't look internally for answers, but instead looked to him, looked to Jesus for the answers that they were looking for. And family, in this passage that we're looking at today, Jesus was teaching the disciples that Jesus wants to meet all our needs according to his will. We can chuck that up now, Hamish. Now, family, I was having a bit of fun with AI this week. This is an AI-generated thing, and I wanted something to stand out. Yeah, I wanted something that would be easily readable. I hope it's easily readable. I think it is. I've got glasses on. Can still read it without the glasses on. And so you've got a comic book, Jesus, comic book points and all of that kind of thing. But you will notice it says Jesus wants to meet all of our needs? Does it say wants? No. It says Jesus wants to meet all of our needs according to what? His will. Okay? This is the key understanding to this point today. If you want to journey this passage well, you need to understand that Jesus wants to meet our needs, what we actually need, according to his will. Okay? Carry that with you as we go. And the beauty of this story is that there's two moments of teaching with the disciples, with Andrew and Philip, and they react in two different ways. And so there's these two other points. Jesus, that's impossible. One of them responds with, Jesus, that is absolutely impossible. And the other is, Jesus, I think I can fix this. I think I've got it. I can fix it. I got it. So let's start with Philip. And Philip represents the this is impossible. So if you've got your Bible still there, John 6, 5 and 7. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in his mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Jesus prompts Philip with the problem. So we talk about the feeding of the 5,000. Realistically, it was probably more like 15,000, okay? Because they counted the men. There were 5,000 men there. So you've kind of got to treble that with women and children, yeah? Possibly even more. So we assume there's at least 15,000 people there. And Jesus says to Philip, "What would it take to feed them?" Half a year's wages. It would have to be half a year's wages. In essence, Philip is throwing up his arms like this, going, "Jesus, this is impossible. This is absolutely impossible what you're asking. We cannot do this." Forgetting that Jesus has been dealing with the impossible the entire time he has been present on earth. The entire time they've been journeying together, Jesus has been in the business of interruption, but also in the business of the impossible. But as we see, it says that Jesus is testing Philip. He wants to see if Philip is trying to do things in his own strength or if he's going to turn to Jesus. Family, when I read this part of the story, I thought to myself, how would we here react today if 15,000 people walked in the door? Like genuinely, because this is the problem that they had. There was 15,000, imagine 15,000 people walking in the door. There's a plethora of issues we have, right? Number one being, firstly, we wouldn't meet fire code and we couldn't actually do that. Yeah, that would be our first problem. They would, and yeah, exactly, that's exactly right. They wouldn't fit. You imagine, if you put one person in the corner all the way across, we still wouldn't fit 15,000 people in here, let alone how would we provide morning tea for all of those people. And how many of us in the room when that happened would go, it's impossible. Yeah? Absolutely. And I'd agree with you. We'd be right there in the same place. Jesus wants to meet all our needs according to his will. So you've got Philip, this is impossible. And you've got Andrew, I think I can fix it. So John 6, 8 to 9. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go, so many? Philip said, it's impossible. Andrew says, I think I can fix it. If it wasn't bad enough that Philip didn't have enough faith in Jesus, Andrew decides he knows better and essentially says, Jesus, I can fix it, and very quickly runs off to try and fix the problem. Sadly for Andrew, his problem-solving skills go as well as the rest of us would in the same situation. He has only come up with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, hardly enough to feed 15,000 people. Just a little side note on that as well. John names the loaves as barley loaves on purpose. It's just to signify that the people in the crowd wouldn't have had a lot of money. Barley loaves were the cheap bread, and it was to signify that the people in the crowd wouldn't have been wealthy people. They would have actually probably needed a meal. Realistically, they would have needed a meal. Family, how often do we, like Andrew, try to solve our problems on our own? We think we've got all the answers and all the know-how. Family, Jesus wants to be involved in our problem solving, yeah? In fact, he wants to enact his will on our lives so that they don't feel like problems at all. Jesus wants to meet all our needs according to his will. How cool is that? How amazing is that? Family, for those of you that are Marvel fans, Marvel movie fans, I've been thinking about this idea of I can fix it. And is there a person that you have in mind when you think of Marvel movies that is Mr. Fix-It?
Iron Man.
Yeah, who said that? Yeah, nice. Yeah, Iron Man. Tony Stark, he's also known as the mechanic at certain points. And a mechanic is a skilled worker who repairs and maintains vehicles, engines, or other machinery. He's Mr. Fix-It. And if you remember the movie Age of Ultron, Tony Stark's main objective within that movie was to protect the whole world. And in doing that, he created the very thing that was going to destroy the whole world. Mr. Fix-It was not very good at fixing it until he finally clicks his fingers. Anyway, that's another movie for another day. But how often do we too in our lives try and fix things on our own? Yeah? It's so common. We just try and walk into everyday situations, leaving Jesus behind when he wants to help us with everything that we go through. Jesus wants to meet our needs according to his will. Now, you notice I talked about 2 points And we've got the third point there, Jesus will. Now, there's two things here. It's actually got a double meaning. Jesus will. He will do this somehow, in one way or another, but also according to his will. Yeah. John 6, 10 to 13, if you've got your Bibles there. Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. Family, Jesus wants to meet all our needs according to his will. In fact, Jesus wants to bless us bigger and better than we can possibly ever imagine. And this is shown by the great number of leftovers, yeah? He wants to bless us beyond our understanding. And like we said, it's according to his will. So often part of what goes on in our mind is, "God, I want you to bless me in this way." And Jesus is saying, "Yeah, but I'm already blessing you in this way over here." Yeah? I've already provided in this way. Jesus had a plan all along when they arrived in this impossible situation that needed to be fixed. And all Jesus needed was willing and obedient people to step out in faith, no matter how impossible the task seemed. And when Jesus' instructions were followed, everything fell into place. It's hard to look at this passage without thinking about hospitality, eh? Because it's a hospitality moment where he provides for many, many people. And when I think of hospitality, I often think of my mum. Mum was extremely hospitable. At our house, we had this massive deep freeze. It would have been, you know, kind of all of that behind me. It was a really big deep freeze, and Mum always had this deep freeze full of baking, sausage rolls, cheese rolls. Anyone know cheese rolls? Mum learnt that when we were in Dunedin. She had heaps of cheese rolls, mini savouries, party food, everything that could be very quickly chucked in the oven and given to people. Our house always had people around. There was always someone in the house, be it my brother's friends, be it my friends, be it the next thing that we were running for the church. And that was just part of who we were. And I think maybe my mum was thinking perhaps she could try and fix things on her own. But it gave me this kind of vision of Jesus and my mum kind of almost like combined. It's not quite like that. But the idea of Jesus actually standing there with this deep freeze full of all of our needs, and he's just kind of going, "Here you go, here you go." And he's just meeting them constantly because he's ready for it. He knew it was happening before it was going to happen, and he made sure that everyone's needs were met. And as we said at the beginning of this today, family, we all have problems. We all have things that we're working through, things that feel impossible. Family, are we constantly trying to fix these things on our own? Because we've all heard it here today. Jesus wants to meet our needs according to his will. All it requires from us is to stop seeing it as the impossible hill to climb and to stop trying to fix things on our own. It involves submitting ourselves in worship and in response to Jesus, no matter what he asks of us, no matter how impossible it seems. But it prompts another question. How do we know what Jesus is asking of us? Yeah? As I read the commentaries this week, the key theme that the author kept jumping to, and he was very careful about, because our response is often to jump into religious activities, right? Praying, devotion, all of these kind of things. But what he pointed out was that Jesus, in the moment, responded. Yeah? He didn't carry on doing what he was always doing. He responded to what came at him at that time. And generally speaking, that's how we know what Jesus wants from us, is responding in the interruption, allowing the interruption to take hold. Jesus calls us to be present in the moment that we are in right now. What it is that this moment calls for. In those moments where we have nothing on, what is it that we choose to do with those moments? Do we choose to invest more in Jesus, invest more in others, or do we choose to isolate ourselves? Because when we give to choose those moments over to Jesus in silence, he will bring people in our life to give wisdom and guidance. He will speak to us through his word. He will bring comfort where there is nothing else. In each moment, he will show us a way in which to respond. And more often than not, it involves patience and an ability to step out in faith and do something that seems impossible. When our lives are centered around Jesus, he will meet our needs according to his will. So family, in terms of response today, it's quite simple, and yes, absolutely. We've got the loaves and the fishes to help us remember this story today. And in a way, you could view this a little bit like communion as well. The difference being there's no cups with drink. I guess my take would be the fish would be the cup with the drink. And family, what I've done as I did this AI printout, I've done it as a little printout for you to take away today as well. And whatever you face this week, whatever you are going through, whatever struggle is taking hold, it's my prayer that you'll come back to that first statement. Jesus wants to meet our needs according to his will. It doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter how hard it is, family, because Jesus is standing there waiting for you to come to him, waiting for you, like my mum waited at the deep freeze, waiting to help with whatever's going on. And this actually isn't a sad thing either. I feel like I'm kind of almost painting it as a sad thing. Isn't this brilliant? Isn't this actually amazing? He wants to meet our needs according to his will. He wants to bless us. He wants to see us grow and become better people. He wants this for our lives. And that's awesome. How cool is that? This is the God that we worship. This is the Jesus that we follow. And he wants to see his will enacted in our lives. And all he needs is willing people to give up the things of the world. Yeah? To give up those things that everything that we see in media tells us to chase and to instead pick things of him. So family, as you come forward this morning, I'd encourage you to take this. I probably should have put magnets on them. Put it on your fridge, put it somewhere, put it in your mirror, somewhere where you'll look at it to remind you that God wants to help. Yeah, he wants to be there for you this week. And as you eat the bread, as you eat the fish, you'll be reminded that he is a wonder-working God and he will make a way. God bless you all, family.